جميل جميل جميل.
KFACH. KFACH. KPMR. Hey, what's going on?
Not too much. Heard you call out. I hear you good. The dashboard showing the same thing, though. It's all out of order and mixed up. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, I see that. And your call sign is coming across. So I don't know if I loaded you right into my contacts. So I don't know what the deal is with that.
Get your last go again.
I was just saying your ID isn't coming across like it should for the contacts. I'm not seeing your name or call. So just your PMR ID is coming up on my radio.
Yeah, you probably have to update your contacts that are in there.
Yeah, I still don't get why it's because I'm looking at the dashboard here too. I mean, I basically last night I read from the radio. I you know, did the embedded settings, dropped the CSV in, dropped the contacts in, and then loaded it to the radio. So I only programmed it once so far, so I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, I didn't get any of your lap.
Yeah, I was just saying, I basically just dropped the CSV file right in, put my DMR ID and call sign in, and then programmed it to my radio. I only did it once, so I don't know. I don't know if I messed anything up or what the deal is. So
I would update the your contact list if you're not getting as far as.
Yeah, I lost the last year transmission there. Can you go again?
Throw this on the charger and clear out. I'll shoot you a text. But I'm going to clear out for now so I can get this charged. Okay, TMR.
Sounds good. KFASBH, clear.
JYNU and State Lifeline.
Good morning, Dave. NAWRO. How's it going?
It's going. It's going. I'm heading over to the school to pick up one of the kids. I guess he lost cookies all over the place, so I'm going to have to deal with that when I get over there.
Yes, a father's duties are never done. And you're a good man for the job, so he'll take care of it.
Yeah, I don't know. and then this morning, just get ready for our meeting tonight. I got to pick the scenario printed off. And going over a couple of things that we're going to need here for the set. It's going to be good. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. So am I. I'll be there. And I spoke to Tom to see if he can make it too. So his he might be like 50-50. I don't know. But, you know, if he can, I saw that he was on the list. So, and then item two is, it's no biggie, but I'm about ready to post the audio from last night's. State net. It was rough conditions last night, but it was interesting to hear from some of the ECs around the state that, including Jim from Washtenaw, they had the Ann Arbor tornado there. So, but I'll post that later, and you can listen to it if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate you doing that, representing, you know, Polk County for us. You know, stay at work. It was a good day, but it'd be good if I could actually get on those tents. But I appreciate you having that covered. So good stuff.
Yeah, no, happy to do it, and pleased to report two of our guys checked in too. So 88 MP number 35, and then Darren also checked in as an in and out. So that's nice to have a. Representation from our guys from Macomb here.
Hey, that's great. That's great. Good. I like to hear that. Get some activity there. Gotta promote this stuff. And get some more activity there. So that's good. I'm glad.
Alrighty then, well, I will see you at MISD, and I think we don't have a designated room. We're just going to kind of figure something out when we get there. Does that sound right?
That is correct. We'll figure something out, whether it's an empty room or there's like a little lounge we can all go to as well that's there. So either one, we'll get it figured out, and it'll be good. It'll be a good meeting tonight.
All righty, sir. I will see you there. You have a good one. Go deal with the little one. November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. After you, sir.
Sounds good there, Jim. Enjoy your afternoon. Beautiful weather out there. A little little chilly, but that's good. But we'll see you later on, and if you need anything, I'm available either through here or just send me a text, whatever. Enjoy your day, though. 73CM. This is
P8
Miami.
KFASCH. KFASCH. K8PMR. KFASCH. KFASCH. This is K8PMR. How's it going?
Good. Yeah, I had my radio on me, but I was in the barn, so I don't think I picked it up.
Gotcha. Yeah, like as soon as you left or whatever, the septic guys came, so I just got done dealing with that. All good there, so now back to try to mess with this radio.
Yeah, are you using the Bluetooth right now? Because you're sounding pretty good right now.
Yeah, I adjusted some of the settings that I saw. Hopefully it does better. It's not cutting out the first initial. There was like a delay setting that I had on, and I set that to the lowest or off. So hopefully it's receiving and it's not cutting out the first half.
Yeah, that's good. You sounded pretty good. Yeah, so you just had to make a little adjustment on that.
Yeah, I still got to mess with the volume a little because for some reason it's coming in a little bit lower, but I think that was something in the settings I saw. I'll have to go back and play around with it.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is you're maybe just talking you sound a little bit quiet coming in, so you can adjust that. I don't know if you're holding the microphone further away or something, but that's the only thing that I would say.
All right, yeah, I'll check the mic gain on there. I had it up a little, and I think when I reset everything, I think it turned it back down.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try to reload my digital contacts again because it's still, all I have is your DMR ID coming up, so I'm going to have to try to mess with that.
Yeah, I think it took me a couple times when I was messing with it on your radio. I think you got to try clearing them all out and then do the right at the bottom of that page and then when you're done with that, then write it to the whole radio, and it should work, should update it.
Yeah, that's what I tried last time, but maybe I just have to download a new contact list or something. Maybe I got too many, because I only need, like, the surrounding area. I might just try to put it down to, like, you know, I don't know, like the surrounding states and then obviously Michigan for sure, so I might give that a try, but.
Got it. Let me give me a second. Let me try adjusting this mic thing, and then I'll jump back on and let me know if it's any different. Hey, TMR.
All right, sounds good. KFASCH.
WATAP.
WATAP, go ahead. This is SCH.
I just wanted to throw it there that Phil is actually louder than you, and I would recommend that he wouldn't turn his microphone up. He's you're both about the same, and he's slightly louder than you, so the other gentleman out there, I would probably not play with that. You sound great over here.
Hey, Eric. This is still KPMR. How's it going? Yeah, the other guy is Nathan. He was actually the guy I was talking to you the other night about his DM32. We were having issues with it. He ended up getting a new one. Everything's working, but I even gave it to Dakota to look at. And for some reason, when it comes over on the dashboard, it's like all the cells are mixed up. So not really sure what's going on with it.
Probably 5 months. But, yeah, I don't know. That's a very interesting problem. If he has a new radio and it's doing the same thing, that's very strange. I forgot what the problem was. What was that issue again?
Make sure he turns off his talker alias. Talker alias is coming through.
Hey, Dave. Thanks. I thought it might have been the talker alias. Do you know by any chance, I couldn't find it anywhere in the DM32 CPS. Do you know whereabouts to turn that off at?
It's probably in the setting for the channel. There's a checkbox. It might be in the CPS.
Okay. I'll have to look when I hook up with him again to check it out. I thought I looked for it, but I couldn't see it. I wonder if it's named something else in that software. But that was my next thought of what it could be, because everything else is coming through good. It's just it's all mixed up on the dashboard.
Yep, no problem. Yeah, I've heard many people have trouble with talker alias turned on, and that usually clears it up. So, but give that a try. And then, yeah, make sure you're going through the repeater, not the hotspot. So here's another thing, too. If you're using a WPSD hotspot and coming in from Brandmeister, it will never give the correct DMR ID. I've never seen it work once for anybody. If you're using an open spot seems to be fine, but for whatever reason, whatever they're doing on WPSD and PiStar, it's not giving the correct ID.
Okay, yeah, I heard that too. He doesn't have a hotspot yet. He's just going off the repeater. So I think Dakota mentioned that first, was about the hotspot. And once I let him know that he wasn't using the hotspot, he's going direct to the repeater, then he was trying to figure it out. So I will definitely have him, or I'll look at that talker alias, because that was the only option I could think of that was screwing everything up.
Alrighty. Well, good luck. I'm just on an HT right now, so I'm gonna sign off for now. Good luck with that. KFAS.
Alright, thanks again, Dave. Eric, you still there?
WAEAP. Yeah, I'm looking at the menu in the radio, and it's in the menu. You go to make sure you're on a DMR channel. And on the top thing, it says talk group. Whoops, fell out of there. Darn. Hold on 1 second. You go into talk group, and then you go down to the number 5. It says talker alias, and then that's like all your settings. And then there's one that says TX alias. You turn that off. And then for receive alias, you turn that I forgot that one. You turn alias off there, too.
Okay, appreciate that. Was that on the actual radio, or was that in the CPS software?
I couldn't find it in the CPS, so it's in the radio menu. Like I said, you'd have to be on a DMR channel for it to bring up the DMR settings.
Okay, perfect. I think that's what I was looking for. Yeah, we couldn't find it. I looked all over, and I didn't see it anywhere in the CPS, so it wasn't in there, or I just looked it over. But if this is right off the radio, that'll be easy enough for him to do. So I appreciate the input.
Yeah, I think I'm almost thinking that it was they're turned on by default. So I remember when I first got mine, before I even keyed up on it, I think Dave told me to turn off the talker alias. So I go, before you key up, turn that off. So I think I kind of remember that now.
Oh, that's perfect. I think that's exactly what we're looking for. I think that'll fix his issue. And then in regards to my audio, you said I'm sounding good, or do I need to turn the gain down a notch?
I think it's pretty good right there. The other gentleman, if he's not new to DMR, he probably doesn't know, the DMR will always be quieter. Like when you go from analog to DMR, always the volume drops a bit. But the only real way to tell is if multiple people are talking. On this radio here, it has a auto-leveling. I don't know what they call it. It's an auto-leveling, so everyone, it tries to level everybody. But I turned it off, and you were slightly louder than he was. So I'm thinking you're just about right in the ballpark. But if he's not used to DMR, he probably doesn't realize that DMR is always going to be quieter. You always have to turn up the volume from going from analog. Like if you're monitoring an analog repeater and then someone keys up on DMR, it'll always be quieter. That's I don't know why that is, but it's always that way.
Okay, very good. That's good information for myself as well. Because I'm relatively new to DMR myself. So I was trying to, I think I was talking to Dakota the other day. Of course, I'm trying out this new, got one of those Bluetooth, it's like a remote head mic for the Anytone 578. And I was having an issue with it. It was cutting out the first, I don't know, maybe the first second and a half of anyone's transmission. Watched the video, ended up finding out it was a like a delay function or something. So seems like I got that working good, but well, I noticed when I was talking to Dakota, he was extremely low. But it was just been my settings all messed up on this new hand mic.
What hand mic do you have again?
BT01. It's the Bluetooth. Essentially, it's a remote head, but it's a Bluetooth hand mic for Anytone 578.
Okay. Yeah. A little bit of a delay is kind of normal. Just like DMR, you key up and you wait a second, then you talk. If you key up instantly, if you're used to like analog and you just key up and instantly talk when you exact second you key up, you're always going to lose the first half syllable. But yeah, it sounds good. I think you got it dialed in about right. So I would probably just leave it there for now.
All right, that's music to my ears. I like hearing that. Yeah, the delay on the receive, I was noticing, actually I first noticed it on analog, and that's when I realized something had to be going on, because, you know, I would expect it on DMR, but not the analog, so I think it's working good, though. I shut all that delay off, or turned it down to the lowest. I think it had a delay of, like, I think it was set for, like, 1.5 or 2 seconds, so even after the key up, I was missing, you know, the first second and a half, 2 seconds, and now I have it, I think it's down to like 30 milliseconds or something was the lowest I think I could put it on.
Yeah, doing good. I mean, I do have a couple of Bluetooth mics that I can use on the DM32. I haven't done that yet. Good thing about the Bluetooth mic, you can set your radio right in the windowsill, and then you could go anywhere in the room and talk. Because, you know, when you're inside, you know, like you move around and your signal goes up and down, you just, Bluetooth mic, you just stick your radio in the best possible spot in the window, and you just walk around the room. So. And if you want to be really daring, hoist your radio about 30 feet up in a tree, and then used wireless mic. You're like kind of a little repeater almost.
Yeah, there you go. That'll get it up there. Yeah, right now I'm on I'm on the 578, which I have. It's kind of a base unit in my house. Normally I'm on the 878, the handheld, but I noticed that, like you were saying, if I walk around a certain area, it kind of cuts out. Unfortunately, I was going to play with that one, but I must have left it on too long, and my battery was pretty low, so I got it charging up now, and figured I'd take the time to play around and try to get this Bluetooth mic squared away, because I'm honestly thinking, I kind of liking this DMR. I was thinking about actually putting this 578 in my truck instead of, I got the Yaesu 150 right now, but kind of like the digital modes, and it was either put the handheld in there and try to, you know, work the handheld, but it's so much nicer having a mobile unit in there.
WATAP, yeah. Well, as soon as I'm able to drive again, I'll throw something in the car. I'm recovering from a pretty nasty back surgery. I'm having a lot of complications. Don't want to get too much into it on the air, but yeah, this is going to take me several more months than planned. So right now I can't drive, so but when I can, I'll probably put the 9600 in the car. And works. These work good as a mobile. But anywho, I gotta get out of here and get ready for a doctor's appointment. But it's nice talking to you. And yeah, we'll talk again. 73s, WATAP.
Okay, TMR. Yeah, well, sorry to hear that about the back surgery. I know, brother-in-law of mine had back surgery a while back, and it's a long recovery. Just be careful and take it easy and don't push it. But again, thanks for jumping in, and thanks to you and Dave. Hopefully we figured out this issue. I can get with him and get it squared away, and hopefully I got his radio all set. But again, appreciate you jumping in with the information, and it was nice talking to you. And I'll let you get back to whatever you have going on, and I'm sure we'll talk again later. So, 73, this is K8TMR.
KFACH, testing. KFACH, clicker.
And I need mid-seat testing just to see if the top group channel is working right for the hotspot. And a mid-seat clicker.
K8DCW.
K8DBF.
Good afternoon, Dakota. K8WOJ.
How you doing, Rick?
Pretty good. Hanging in there. How about yourself?
Oh, I can't complain. I got a little bit of a sore throat, but I think that's the tail end of this annoying sinus infection I've had the last couple weeks. Or, I don't know, maybe the fact that it snowed last night. Other than that, heading home, just had to drop some mulch off at my wife's grandma's, doing my grandson duties, and just going to start the journey home now.
Yeah, it almost seems like winter don't want to leave, don't it? It's kind of rough on this old man, too, piling on clothes every day, every time I want to go outside.
Yeah, this has been a bad spring. I can't believe we're almost into May, and we're still dealing with this crap.
Well, I was at the hospital this morning for a pain clinic kind of thing, and one of the nurses there told me that in a day or so we're supposed to get about a week of 80s. I'm not ready for 80s. I'd like the nights in between, you know, 65, 70, somewhere in there for at least a little while.
Yeah, I heard 71 tomorrow, and I would really like you said, you know, give me a couple of days of 50, 55, maybe some 60s in there, and then we're going to jump right into May heat. I don't want that either. Although, at this point, I guess I'll take the heat over the snow.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I've always, I don't know why, the heat's always knocked me out. I could always, in the cold, I could always just put more clothes on or, you know, gloves. Or there's something you can do. But in the heat, there just don't seem to be much you can do except get out of it and go into some air conditioning.
Yeah, I've been the same way my whole life. I've always been partial to the colder weather. Not what we had this winter, but like I was saying, you know, 40s and 50s are my sweet spot. 60s all right, but then it starts, you get in that, is it hoodie territory, is it not? and then you can't really get comfortable if you're out and about.
Yeah, that's another thing, the heat and being out and about kind of thing. It's nice if you can just sit in the shade and a breeze and kind of take it easy, but if you got things to do out in that baking sun, that even makes it worse.
I just unloaded mulch for my grandma, and it's 53, and I didn't get too uncomfortably warm, so that's kind of my preferred temp range is 50 to 60, and I'm all right.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy that area, too, like 50 to maybe... Oh, sometimes 65. Well, now that I get older, the temperature's going a little higher, you know, 50 to 70, 72, and hopefully don't get any more than that. But, you know, we can't have it all.
No, sir, especially in this state.
Okay, DMR.
Phil, go ahead, and then pass it over to Dakota, please.
Well, good afternoon, guys. I was taking a break. I heard something about mulch, and... that's exactly what I'm doing and decided I needed to take a break. So, wanted to say hi. Over to you, Dakota.
Good afternoon. Yep, I was just telling Rick I've dropped off 20 bags to my wife's grandma, and I'm finally on my way home. That's actually a beautiful day to be outside if you're working, so hopefully it's not going too bad for you, but I know you bought a lot more bags than I did.
Yeah, actually, I'm not in too bad a shape. Maybe I'll wander down and try a little bit of fishing before it gets dark. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not too bad out there right now. Probably beautiful weather for some fishing. This morning was a little chilly. I was in and out, had the septic pumped and all that good stuff today. But now it's pretty comfortable. And I don't know. I'm about done with this mulch. I don't want to see any more mulch. I'm over it.
That'll be me. Hopefully not this summer. Oh, actually, hopefully this summer, but I'm not ready for that either. I'm going to be putting that crap everywhere. She wanted to do rocks, and I was all excited, but now she's like, well, rocks are going to be this much, and mulch is so cheap, and I'm like, oh, my God. The cool thing with rocks is you do it one time, so spend the money.
Sorry, folks, had a little accident there. And, yeah, it's about that time over here, too. My sister usually goes crazy in the spring, summer breaks, and rips up a bunch of plants and sticks a bunch of new bushes in and flowers and flower pots and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of good that she didn't get too early of a start because it went down to, I think it was 30 last night.
Yeah, that's normally what I got going. I don't plant too many new things, but I got a bunch of those ornamental grasses that are getting too big. I got to split those, and I think it might have got below. I looked at my little weather thing at the house, and it was showing like 25 out here this morning. So it was the dusting of snow on the ground. I was not happy. Kind of put me back into that depression.
Hey, DBO. I didn't realize it was that cold. I put a T-shirt and a vest on this morning. I walked outside, and I was like, my God. And then my doors were frozen shut, and I had snow on my windshield. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I was ready for this to be over with.
I head out in the backyard every day at about 4:45, 5:00 in the morning there, and I always look at the temp on the phone just so I know how to dress. And I saw it this morning and went, oh, my gosh, back to winter again. So, I got nice and warm, and I took the hand warmers out with me, and I actually needed it. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. This morning was the time for hand warmers. Well, it seems like we always get hit in April with one last hurrah. Hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm hoping yesterday was that day, and now hopefully onward and upward from here on out. Go ahead, Dakota.
Yeah, I would gamble. That was probably the last one, I hope. I mean, if I eat my words, I'm going to be pretty upset. And so I'm not ignoring you. I saw your text earlier, too. I just didn't reply. That's weird. I don't think I ever used my damn 32 on the network, but I guess if he's showing up into, like, Brandmeister and hotspots, and, like, if you do a simplex call with him and it's right, I guess who cares? It's just something with the dashboard and the DM32s that doesn't get along. I don't know if anyone out there is listening that's got a DM32 and actually looks at the MI5 dashboard, but we're having an issue where all the information's in the wrong column. It's like scrambled. It's all the right information. It's just not in the right spot. And this is on two different DM32s with different firmwares, different code plugs, you name it. So kind of out of ideas.
GBH.
Is it just some of the columns or all of them?
It's most of them. Not all of them. Like the call sign and the DMR ID is correct, but the like the RSSI is off. That, I believe, is reading what the talk group should be. I don't know, it's just a few mixed up. Everything else, he can get into it. He doesn't have a hotspot yet, so he's right off the repeater. And Dakota, Dave, I was actually talking to Nathan earlier after we programmed this one, and KF8S, Dave chimed in, and so did Eric. And they were saying that it's probably something with that talker alias, which, I don't know, he tried looking for it. It. From what he said, it showed that it was off, but that's kind of where I was thinking it was. I think we got another station in there. Go ahead.
KF8GVH.
You know what?
All my columns are off, too. I just caught the last little bit. I just hopped in the car and caught the tail end of your conversation. But all my columns...
I bet you the guy that built the dashboard knows.
Well, I that's interesting. I haven't had anything like that, but I got this D168 Anytone, the little brother of the 878 kind of thing. And all of a sudden, so I thought, you know, I got the 578, the mobile, the 878 handheld, and now this 168, so I could easily swap the code plugs for it kind of thing. Wrong. I put the 578 or 878 code plugs in the 168, and everything kind of blew up database-wise. And then I happened to notice that they have two color codes in the for each channel in the 168. Kind of blew my foggy old mind. I'm not sure who gets it now.
Any good thing?
In the 578, but I ended up having to redo some stuff. It didn't transfer over 100% correctly, but I'm glad. I guess glad to hear that somebody else's radio is actually doing that. So I don't know. I told him, you know, we'll double check those other settings, but nobody seemed to come back and say anything is wrong. You know, when he keys up and everything, and he's able to key up, he's on the right talk groups and all that, so. Kind of told him just to run with it, you know, don't really worry about it unless, you know, somebody chimes in and says there's an issue, and then hopefully if they do, they can kind of help them out on how to solve it. I think, I'm not sure if it was Dakota or the GBH.
N8ZC.
I was going to say, I thought I heard an N8 in there. Go ahead.
No, this is N8ZC. I'm not sure if I've got it here. Somebody keeps popping up over the top of me.
N8ZC, you had it. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm getting used to my other radio. You guys are talking about the issue on the dashboard with the DM32. I'm on right now on my DM32. And everything's displaying properly according to the dashboard here. So, yeah, I heard those guys in there talking about it earlier today, and I'm not sure what to think either, but mine's showing up correctly on the dashboard, but that's here. So I'm not sure... how to help, but I just figured I'd throw my 2 cents in. You guys carry on. I'm working on a project as I'm sitting here listening, but just figured I'd give you my nickel's worth. Anyway, this is N8ZC. I'm not sure if that was N8ZC.
Let's see if I got it. All right, well, yeah, I mean, you know, Phil, I guess at the end of the day, as long as when he's going through the repeater and people are seeing his DMR ID on their radios, That's probably all you really need to worry about. I don't think the dashboard is necessarily the grail the end all be all. It's a nice tool for sure, and the data is all there. It just won't be as pretty if he's transmitting from the DM32. But I would like to know the root cause of that. It is kind of weird.
Well, I guess I kind of lucked out. I'm running DMR through a hotspot there, zone spotted, and everything comes up great all the time. But the one nice thing I like about it is I don't have to every month go over and get the new database for the new DMRs and load it in the radios and that stuff. It goes out on the internet apparently and gets all the info. So everybody who keys up, I get the info for whether I loaded a database or not. I'm kind of enjoying the heck out.
Yeah, that's a nice feature. I just updated mine on the 578 today, but oh well, what are you going to do? And Dakota, I don't know. I kind of give up, like I told him. Everything seems to be functioning correctly, except for the layout, you know, the appearance on the dashboard when he keys up. And, you know, as long as, you know, nobody says there's an issue, I told him just to run with it. And then the other note on that Bluetooth mic, I actually watched some videos and did some digging today, and there are some settings, so I ended up figuring that out. There's like a delay feature that was on, and it was at like a 1.5 second delay for receive before the Bluetooth connected. So pretty sure I got that all fixed. So far it's been a pretty good day. I think it was Dakota.
Good deal. Yeah, I figured there was a setting in there somewhere. It didn't cost too much for it to not work right. Sean and I were talking about remote heads for these motos today, and I was like, yeah, that's a pipe dream for me for what they want for them. But it would be cool that I could just mount the radio wherever and stuff that thing in the center console, and that's all I need. But anyway, I'm not worth it. I got to go home and do a little bit of radio cleanup, too. So I bought that new control head for my 5550E. And I was talking to Sean about it, this morning. There's a red light that keeps flashing on it. And I guess Wally did some research, found out it's because the firmware in the head is different than the firmware on the radio. So I got to play that game when I get home. Totally functional and works fine. It's annoying. And the DMR ID thing, man, that's my only complaint about DMR. It's so hard to keep that up to date. And I tried doing that this weekend on mine, and I eventually just gave up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put the people from the dashboard the last, like, 2,000 key-ups, and I'll do that periodically throughout the year, and that's going to be the extent of it, because these radios, you can't just bulk import 100,000 contacts. It doesn't work. I don't even think I can put that many on here. So there's a knock to Moto, but I guess it's not what it's intended for.
Hey, FAGBH here. I just arrived at my destination, so I'm going to clear out conversation, but my BTEC is based on AnyTone. And so I'm wondering if it's something that has to do with AnyTone that isn't working. Anyway, I'll be clear. You guys carry on. KF8GBH out.
Rick, you still there?
Yes, sir.
I think you were up in the rotation. Could be wrong, though. I don't know who's out here still.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't hear any of the other guys that came in anymore. We were going, me, Phil, you, and then back to me. So that's kind of what I thought it was. So sorry if I stepped on somebody.
Yeah, I was the same. I did. I kind of lost track, and I knew there was a couple other guys who jumped in, but I thought they cleared out. I didn't hear them, so I apologize if I stepped on anyone also. But on that note, I just looked at the time, so wife's going to be home in a little bit. I better get back to making this somewhat presentable, so it looks like I did something productive today. So I will catch you guys later. I'll try to jump on later on after I clean up all this stuff. So I'll listen out, but you guys have a good one. K8TMR.
All right, Bill. Sounds good, man. I'll catch you later. I'm making all right time. It was a dude on the side of the road that ran out of gas. 53, and of course that caused a nice 7 minute delay. But finally northbound here at 32 and 53. Go ahead, Rick.
Wait, for some odd reason, Dakota, every time, well, not every time, but a lot of the time when you get done, And apparently on TV, the green light on my radio says, you know, it says I'm receiving. Just doesn't quit, you know, until I kind of key up. So I don't know what the heck is going on there. But like I said, I guess maybe I got somebody mixed up with somebody there. I ended up getting that 308 barrel, got it on the Encore and a scope mounted and ready to go try her out. And I sent you earlier today a link to a YouTube video on zeroing AR-15s. Like, it was kind of interesting.
Good deal. Yeah, the weather's finally going to break before you get to get out and shoot that thing. And I will check that out. I've watched a handful of it. It depends on what you're zeroing at. But I know with an EOTech, God, what is it, a 23-yard zero? 23 or 33-yard zero because of height over bore and the different holes and everything in that reticle. There is a lot that goes into zeroing an AR, especially depending on what it's known for. Fascinating, actually. The things that I've actually had to take into consideration groundhog hunting when I come around the corner and I'm at a standoff with one at about 3 yards with a 6.5 by 20.
Yeah, that's what I've seen a few of them too, and this one's kind of nice because he's got four targets up. He has 25, 36, 50, and 100 yards. And shows, I think it's like 10 shots on there, and then where stuff hits at different yardages, you know, from where you zero, that kind of thing. So it's really kind of interesting. And the one thing you didn't mention, though, is now I picked the 50-yard zero because I got two zeros with a 50-yard zero. I got a near zero and a far zero, and the distance in between them, the height never gets more than about an inch. So it's almost point blank range.
I used to do something similar. I would always zero, like, my varmint stuff. I'd zero at 200, but here's my gripe with that. It's a lot harder to get a rock solid zero at 200 than it is 100. So if you think you're dead nuts at 200 and you have to hold high or low and your zero's not perfect, you're kind of just shooting into the breeze.
Yeah, burning ammo. Yeah, I know what you mean. And this old man, it's getting harder for me. A lot of the places, I don't have all the open farm fields and stuff like you do over there. And almost most of the places I go, you can't hardly see 100 yards in the woods and the brush and, you know, everything that goes. There are places where it opens up some, but I always did 100 yards zero kind of thing. But then a guy in the military mentioned the 50-yard zero, and I thought, oh, I got to check that out. So I've been playing with that, and I've been almost switching everything over to 50-yard zeros.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a 50-yard zero or a 100-yard zero. I just, you got to zero for what makes sense for where you're shooting, how you're shooting, and what you're shooting at, and that's the name of the game. Like I said, unless it's a 22 long rifle, it's a 100-yard zero. And then I either know the holes or the dope for anything outside of that.
Yeah, when I was watching that video I sent you there, I was thinking the same thing. You know, they use the regular IPSC kind of man target kind of thing, you know, with an A, B, and C zone, and D zone at the very bottom also kind of thing. And I thought, well, that's all fine and dandy, but that doesn't do any good for guys like Dakota that are shooting varmints, or, you know, squirrels at quite a long distance kind of thing. But like you said, it depends on you, what you're going to do with it and the size of targets you're going to shoot, you know. But it's all fun to play with, I'll say that for sure.
Much like radio, I think deer is one of my favorite parts of hunting. I just, you know, it's fun getting it set up and getting it working right. It's rewarding. Especially, I put all my own stuff together, like, not to the extent you do, where you're loading your ammo. That would be, like, the most self-fulfilling thing I ever did, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But I like the product at the end of the process there, where it's like, okay, I bought this, I spec this, I put this all together, I torqued this to this many inch pounds, like I zeroed it here, and then you take your first animal with it, and you're like, perfect. Everything worked like it was supposed to, it paid off, and then you got the confidence in the rifle, and then you just keep going from there. And I got buddies that I argue with all the time, they're caliber guys. I want a 300 PRC, I want a 6.5 PRC. I'm like, or, hear me out, you just hit it where you need to hit it, and then you don't have to bank on your 18-inch kill zone on an elk.
Yeah, I gave up on the caliber debates and discussion long ago, and when I figured out that shot placement was the most important thing above all. And I read all these stories of Eskimo women, you know, taking down bears with 22s. And one of the biggest calibers that someone had in this Eskimo village was a 243. Caribou, bear, seals, or just, I mean, all kinds of things. It just all depends on shot placement. And their livelihood, their whether they eat or not, depends on their shot placement. So it's I give up on the caliber thing. Just about anything will work, as long as you can put it where it's supposed to go.
10 AB, yeah. Yeah, you'll never win that debate with a caliber king either. So they'll always have an excuse of why they need to shoot the bigger bullet. You know, it's insurance. It's this. It's that. It's got better. It's got better kinetic energy. It does more. You know, it's like, what? Or you just blow the heart out with a 223, and it'll do the same thing. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. I do this every year with my buddies that still shoot 450s and lose deer every single year. And they're like, well, 450, it's just got knockdown power. I'm like, that's the most ignorant comment you could ever make, is saying that it's got knockdown power when you lose deer with it.
Yeah, it ain't good, see?
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
NAZC, go ahead.
NAZC, go ahead.
Hey, there's somebody. Oh. Anyway, Dakota, I have to completely agree with you. I do all my own reloading. I build my own rifles, customize them, all that kind of fun stuff. And you know, these, oh, yeah. I'll just put it this way. There's this mindset that's out there that just drives me nuts. If it's new, it's got to be better. I prefer the old, time-tested calibers. And like you say, shot placement is everything. I tend to like heavier bullets myself on the old stuff. But then again, my newest caliber I have right now is a 260 Remington. But it's all custom, all dialed in, hand loads, you name it. Anyway, I just had to pipe in because this is a conversation you two are having that's, I'll say I'm passionate about. I like talking guns, I like listening, but yeah, some of these people on the new stuff, I just shake my head. Oh, let's see. I'll give it to, I think it's Ricky anyways. I'm not sure. But you don't need to put me in there. I just had to throw my 2 cents around again. And hey, Zensi.
Okay, Terry, jump in there anytime. It's good to hear from you. And, yeah, the 260, that's one of the 308 family cartridges that I haven't tried yet. I got the 308, the 708, the 243. The two I'm missing is the 260 and the 358. But anyway, it's supposed to be a good one. Apparently, some squads in the military have gone to that round also. And Dakota, doggone it, I was going to reply. Yeah, about the the power thing. I used to tell guys, well, yeah, if you go by that kind of reason, I can get a 50 BMG and just barely miss the deer, and that should kill him, right, because of the power.
You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I feel like this is a horse that just needs to be beaten regularly because there's still people out there that don't get it. And to add to what NAZC said, it's like, why wouldn't, you know, if you're a gun guy and you take marksmanship seriously and hunting seriously, and you're not just a hill jack that grabs a gun and goes and chases deer in the woods, right? So why wouldn't you shoot a round that has tons and tons of historical data and dope and ballistic information on and you know, studies and books written about it? Like, this is I would say a cult, you know, to some degree, some of these super crazy gun guys, with how deep they dive into this stuff, why wouldn't you go with the stuff that has just an abundance of proof and information and research and data over the shiny new toy, which I'm all for trying new things. Like, I'll put new glass on my guns all the time. But that's not the same thing, right? The glass is forever improving. I don't want to say that rounds are. I think we're kind of plateaued right now for a while until new materials come out for handling pressure, like Rick and I were talking about a couple weeks ago. My newest caliber is a 350 Legend, which is very new. But that's, I don't know that kind of, I don't think that counts, right? Because it's a new need. It's a new niche that needed to be fulfilled. And it was uncontested by the 450, which is a garbage round. And along came the 350, which, you know, we got to play within those Michigan straight wall restrictions in Ohio and wherever else they use them. But even still, like, guys are deep diving that. Everyone's doing studies on that. And that's a debate. Like, you'll never, ever, no one will ever win 350 versus.
Yeah, that's a constant topic for debate on that Michigan sportsman's forums there. I like to go. I get a lot of laughs out of reading some of that stuff. That 360 Buckhammer is supposed to be the kind of king, you know, buying the 450 tank. I call it the tank, overgun kind of thing. But anyway, the 360 Buckhammer is supposed to look better on paper, the numbers on paper. But, you know, they seem to be, when I looked them up, they were fairly close. There's really not a difference between that and the 350. I've already got two 350s, and I'm very happy with them. I enjoy the heck out of them. In fact, I think if I was heading north into zone one and two, I'd still use the 350.
100%. I mean, this is no doubt in my mind. I know what I can do with a 350. And I would be confident taking that anywhere in Michigan, anywhere in the Midwest, and harvesting whitetail or smaller animals, bigger, closer in. But there's, now it's just, you know, what's the return on investment for going to a 360 Buckhammer over a 350 or going to a 400 Legend? I just don't think it justifies it for what you're going to get out of it. I would argue that 99% of shooters that have one or the other, if you put the other one in their hand, they wouldn't notice any difference.
Well, a lot of places that sell rolls and all the other goodies kind of stuff are really pushing the 400 Legend. and then when I say thing, you start looking at the numbers that I add, you know, velocities. Although it does... It does shoot some heavier, a little bit heavier bullets and slightly a larger diameter there. But is it worth dropping a whole bunch of money on another caliber that's only slightly better than the Legend? I don't know. I like buying new joys and playing with them, but there's not enough difference in them for me to waste any money on. 88WOJ.
I won't buy it out of principle because it's a 40 cal and I just can't stand 40s. And I'm sure that'll ruffle a lot of feathers because that's the same, you know, that's another debate, 9mm versus 40. You won't ever see me with a 40. I've had them, I've shot them, I ate them. No thanks. But I'll stick with my 350. I know what it does. I know, and, you know, what do I really need heavier than a 165 grain 9mm bullet? Probably not, at least not for what it's intended to be used for. Just hit it where you got to hit it. But on that note, I am pulling down the driveway here, and I'm going to jump out. May or may not be back out here later. I got to get this radio programmed. And if I don't talk to you, I'm sure I'll catch you tomorrow, maybe in the morning. I'll listen out. NABBF.
Okay, young man, have a good one there. Now you really piqued my curiosity. We're going to have a little discussion about the 40 sometime. I've got one. My very first handgun was the Beretta 96. And I like it. I kind of enjoy it, but I've got my little quirks with it, too. So anyway, have a good one. We'll catch you later. K8WOJ.
You guys have a good evening. And one comment. Whatever happened to 20-gauge and 12-gauge slugs? those take a lot of deer. You don't have to shoot them that far if you know what you're doing. Anyway, and I'll leave it at that. Have a good evening.
Okay, Gary, you have a good one there. Good to hear from you. And the good old slugs. I think maybe kind of what's happened is the recoil on some of these newer stuff for Zone 3 is a lot lighter than the slug guns kind of thing. And, you know, shooting an ounce of lead now on there. And I think sometimes it's easier to get nice, tight accuracy out of a center fire than it is a shotgun round kind of thing. But, I did have an 870 that put slugs into. I get out west, and the guys laughed at me out there when we drug it out. And they all had, one had a 308 with a scope. And they all had different kind of rifles, and I had my slug gun. And I was the only one hitting the bullseye all the time. We stuck a little one of them little V8 tomato cans out there, and I chopped it in half kind of thing. And kind of blew their mind. So, the slugs work. You just got to spend time with it, and doing a lot of shooting and a lot of practice with it is a little bit costly and real hard on this old man's shoulder. But anyway, have a great one. We'll talk with you later. KE8WOJ.
KE8LAX, statewide one. NHWRO, NHWRO, KE8LAX. KE8LAX equipment check.